Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name's Jack Farmer, his name's Andy Rossi, and it's the Evolution of Movie Show, and we've got a doozy for you this time around. But before we get into all that, Andy Rossi, how are you?
I'm doing great. I love the word doozy. I haven't heard that in a while.
It's a good throwback. I'm bringing it back.
Yeah, bring it back.
You are working on a short film right now. You've got an Indiegogo up, and you've got all sorts of cool tiers on it where people can help be a producer for this short. Tell us a little bit about it.
Right now it's called The Break-In, but I'm 100% going to change the title. I start shooting in November, and I have an amazing cinematographer and DP attached.
Do you really? That's interesting because I happen to have a guest for the show that's also a cinematographer and DP, and his name, he's a returning guest. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Andre Welsh. Andre, how are you? What a weird coincidence.
Weird. How'd you guys know? No idea.
Serendipity, baby. It just happened.
I just kind of dialed into this random link.
Yeah, it said free PlayStation 5, and I clicked away.
Sorry.
But Andre, I'm so glad to have you back. You were on before when we talked about Disrupted, a film that you actually made that is available on Amazon and Tubi still. So everyone who hasn't seen it, go check that out and then go watch our episode of that. But I'm thrilled to have you back for a movie that I have been very excited to chat about ever since we picked it. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We're gonna get through the nitty-gritties of this movie. There's so much stuff to talk about. We gotta just dive in. But first, we've got the housekeeping stuff, the stuff at the beginning of every podcast that you gotta say. First, you always gotta explain what the podcast is. Then you've got to start with broad strokes. That's what we're gonna do. Folks, this is the Evolution of Movies show. And what we do is we watch a movie and we chat about it book club style, but we call it the Evolution of Movies because we always watch a movie that came out 1 year after the last movie we watched. So started in 1980, went to 1981, 82. Now we're all the way up to 2010, wow. A time when theaters were filled with hits like Inception, True Grit, and of course, The Last Airbender. But we aren't talking about those. We're talking about Machete, a movie IMDb describes as, after being set up and betrayed by a man who hired him to assassinate a Texas senator, an ex-federale launches a brutal rampage of revenge against his former boss.
Yeah.
Andre, had you seen this movie before, and what were your thoughts going into it this time around?
I did see it in the theaters back in 2010. I think I was getting my Prius fixed. And it was in walking distance to a theater. So I was like, yeah, I'm game for this. And I remember loving it back then, and watched it actually this morning, and loved it again.
Yeah.
So there you go. I actually did forget about, like, I remember the tone of it really well, and it's kind of grindhouse-ish, but I forgot just how awesome like all the kills are, and just it's kind of like the perfect example of like weaving social commentary with like an action movie. Like, I can't really think of a better movie for doing that. So
this feels tailor-made for me. This is like exactly what I love in movies, where it's every, and I remember it coming out and me wanting to see it, but for some reason it just slipped under the radar and I never got a chance to see it until this viewing. So
No way.
I saw it, I was so excited to get to see it, and boy howdy did this movie not disappoint. I love when a movie just knows what it is and just embraces it and is unapologetically, this is what we're doing. And we're going all in on it. And that's what this movie was. And I was giddy this whole movie, but what they did. This was so fun to see. Andy, tell us a little bit about your experience watching it. But while you do, why don't you go ahead and guess what the Rotten Tomatoes score was?
Oh, I definitely had seen this movie before. I'm pretty sure this was like the fake trailer to like the Grindhouse movies.
When it was one of them. Yeah.
That's right.
And I remember seeing it and going, and then when they said it's going to be a movie, I was like, that is awesome. But yeah, it lives in the same world as one of my favorites, From Dusk Till Dawn. It seems like the same actors in a lot of it, and kind of the same world. So let's see, Rotten Tomatoes. This is always so hard because how do critics like this movie?
Remember, The Last Airbender came out, remember?
It did, yeah. And Inception. Inception is so good. I feel like critics had to know that this was like kind of a goofy movie. So I don't think they gave it too bad, but they probably weren't going to give it too high as well. So let's go. I'm going to go like 51. How about that?
51%, Andre. That's a tough one because it's right in the middle. So it's kind of a 50-50 either way for you. Now, Andy makes a good point. It clearly wasn't an Oscar movie, but critics do sometimes love these movies that are an homage to older times. So what right. do you think? Is it higher or lower than 51%?
I'm going to say higher. I would guess, because most of my favorite movies actually land somewhere in the mid-50s to the high 70s, I want to say. Like, usually when it's 90, I end up seeing it, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to guess 65.
65. Wow. So I want to give Andy a little credit here because he could have just said 50 and picked the 50-50 easy way, but he picked a side of the fence and he said 51%. So just barely on one side of the fence there. Yeah. But Rotten Tomatoes has it sitting at 71%.
No way.
Yeah. Okay. They gave it some love, almost at that Bronson level of movies. So as far as the ratings go, but
way better than Scorpion King.
But Scorpion King
just never saw that one.
You're not alone.
It might fit into what you just said, though. Well, Scorpion King might have been too low. It's like 39 or something.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I've seen lower. It's like, wasn't there? There was one, like, I don't remember what it was a couple years ago, and it was like 4 or 6 or something. It's like
probably like Sandler.
Like Jack and Jill or something. Jack and Jill. Speaking of, so this was like a Sandler movie where Robert Rodriguez did get all of his friends to come back, which was always fun to see.
Yeah.
Not an easy movie to take notes for, by the way, because stuff happens constantly in this movie. And so, like, do I need to note this, or is this going to be just a little thing that doesn't really matter? Is this a rundown thing, or is this a talk about it afterwards thing? Anyways, this inside the mind of how I'm watching these movies. But thank you, everyone who's watching the show on YouTube. Please like, comment, share, subscribe with all your friends. The likes and the comments do mean the world to us. But also, if you're listening on Apple, 5-star review with a little comment. I may read your comment on the air if you do that. Give us a review on Spotify. I'm told you can do that. I don't know how, but figure it out. It's not my job. This is why we don't get reviews. I always trail off at the end and put down the listeners. In any case, let's get into this movie. Lots of stuff happening. So
at least you said listeners. It's not just one.
If you're one of our listeners, Mom, my mom doesn't listen. And if she did, she'd call me out, but she won't because she doesn't. Two federales are out to save a girl from Mr. Torres. On the way, Machete's partner tries to stop them, but Machete says that the Machete is the boss. Machete's partner dies, but Machete carries the girl to safety until she stabs Machete in the leg. Mr. Torres shoots the girl that Machete was trying to save and then kills Machete's wife. And then says they're going to kill his kid and then leaves Machete in a burning house to die. 3 years later, Agent Riviera is watching Luz, codename She, who runs a taco truck, and she sees Machete there as well. He doesn't get a normal job, however. Instead, he makes $500 fighting some dude Lionheart style. Andre, tell us about the characters that are in this world and the world that they live in.
I mean, I love just how they're just so over the top. and like just the constant one-liners, but they're all just really good, clever one-liners. Yeah. And so they're not like eye rollers, or just they're kind of more like, yeah. I like that. Yeah. Like, I think there was one, like, later on in the film, there was one of the security guards, you know, he was kind of mentioning how he's like, I don't know. Immigrants aren't really that bad. And then Machete comes over with a string trimmer and he's just like, I quit. He just drops his weapon. And says, I quit.
Yeah. I've never identified more with the character in a movie than that guy at that point. Like, yeah, I quit. I don't know. I don't know what he's getting paid, but I guarantee it's not enough to take on Machete with a weed whacker full of knives.
No.
Andy, what I loved about this, one of the things I loved about this movie was how many big names were in it, but how, and maybe this is, I didn't research it much going into it, how they're all revealed in like a fun way. And you're kind of like, oh, they're this person. Like, obviously, Mr. Torres, Steven Seagal shows up and it's on this point. Dodger's point is like, if you're creating a character and you're like, well, I could put points in evil drug lord, I can put points in smart businessman. Every character is like all the points in one thing. Like, Steven Seagal plays the most drug lordy person you could ever play in a movie.
With his sword, his samurai sword, too.
I read a funny thing. I read the trivia after I watched the movie, and it said Steven Seagal fired his dialect coach because he was getting too good.
Oh, really? He said he was getting too still bad.
Yeah, he was too getting too good at the accent.
He's like, you're making me too good of an actor. I gotta stop.
I have a brand up.
that beginning scene is so crazy though. Like I mentioned Dust Till Dawn before. It totally had that vibe where heads are getting chopped off. He chops off a guy's hand and then uses that guy's hand to shoot someone, which was so genius.
So good.
And then Seagal just chops off his wife's head.
Like, yeah, super hardcore.
It definitely like gets you to know what you're getting into. Yeah. It's like, this doesn't shy away from, you know, they're like, this is what you're about.
It's not a slow burn.
No.
Not a slow burn.
No. They light that bad boy up in the very beginning. And it sets the tone for the movie so well. And the and Andre, I want to talk to you a little bit about how there's so many characters, because this, it's easy to look at this and see how it's presented and talk about how like it's kind of a stupid movie. But there's actually a lot of characters with a lot of different things, as we see with like Agent Riviera and it's Luz is her name. I called her she throughout, but that's not really her name.
Right? Yeah.
Michelle Rodriguez.
Luz.
Yeah.
Michelle Rodriguez. Like, there's actually a lot of things connected in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually like a really tight, good script, I would say. Not that I've like sat there and read the script, but I could just imagine just watching the film. It's easy to follow and you can kind of guess where things are going, but it's still done in a way that it doesn't feel too telegraphed. Like, it still feels like, oh, okay, yeah. Oh, I like that. And there are a couple little twists here and there that I thought worked really well. And I saw it like whatever it was 12 years ago when it came out. And so I couldn't remember any of that stuff. So I was like, oh yeah, that's right.
This Andy, there was a scene here where our boy Machete channels his inner lion heart. And he gets paid to have a fight.
Yeah.
Something didn't stick with me on here. Didn't seem believable about this part.
How he didn't strike back that?
How they paid this dude 500, but they were going to pay him, Machete, $500 to fight. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm looking, there's like 10 guys watching and they don't look like they got a ton of money. Where's this $500 coming from? Like, how much was a ticket to watch a bunch of strangers fight? I can't imagine where was the value in this? I need the wealthy businessman watching on to buy into the financial side of this, Andy. This movie, completely unbelievable.
It's funny too during this part, because I kind of forgot the plot of this movie. So when what's the guy's name that had the slick back? Booth,
I think. Booth.
Was
his name. Yeah, Booth, yeah.
So when Booth sees him fighting, and Machete's not even really fighting, he's just ducking a lot. And then he's like, hires him to like be the assassin.
Yeah.
I was kind of like,
this guy will work.
Yeah. At first I was kind of like, oh, he recognized his skill set, so now he wants him to be the assassin. I just thought that was funny, because I was going to make fun of that. Be like, oh, he thought he was a great assassin after that performance. But then as we learn, we'll talk about what happens. But it was kind of funny seeing Machete just being that was probably the only time he just played defense. Every other time he's on the offense the whole time.
And honestly, I would say that scene and Booth picking him, you know, like that's kind of the only real coincidence in the movie. And it's so I would say it's the only thing where it's like, you know, it's fine. It totally works. Like you just go, you go with it. But every, like to me, everything else was done a little bit more smartly, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like I said, I was actually kind of blown away by just how, in depth this, now again, it was presented in a silly way, but the commentary obviously, but also just like, I love movies where you have multiple hard people that all kind of are going to conflict at some point. And you're already setting up Agent Rivera is a tough nut to crack. You've got she's going to be tough. Now you're already seeing Booth. You know, what's his deal? He wants you to kill the senator who's crazy. Like
Steven
there's
Seagal.
Already a bunch of people that you're like, they're all going to collide. And it's not going to end well for somebody, for all of them, but one of them. At least you think at the time, but
then it's like, how does Lindsay Lohan fit in here?
Right. But they all have their own motivations. I love it. They all have their own motivations. They're all real motivations.
Yeah.
And everyone has a motivation to stop everybody else, which makes it really, like I said, I'm actually kind of blown away by how in depth this script was considering how over the top the movie was, but again, I love that kind of stuff. I love when they do this kind of stuff. So I loved every bit of this. So Machete gets picked up by a man named Booth in a nice car, and they go to his office. And Booth explains that he uses immigrants for labor, and the senator wants to get rid of immigrants, so he wants the senator dead and will pay $150,000 and needs it to happen tomorrow. Booth gives Machete weapons and a phone. Machete gives the money to Luce, who keeps it, but before heading out to the senator, who's giving a speech. Before taking the shot, another sniper takes out Machete and then shoots the senator in the leg, and Booth throws Machete under the bus. Machete makes a good attempt to get away, but it's not enough, and the cops get him. The cops are taking Machete to a basement because they aren't real cops. Machete stabs through the seat and causes the car to crash and explode.
Great scene.
There's a lot of things here, but one, you set up the senator, who clearly this horrible person, but at this point we think Booth hates the senator, and it's kind of tricking us, but you can tell Booth is a bad guy. But Andre, I want you to talk me through the very end of here where the cops aren't really cops. They get stabbed. It explodes. We talk about how we get the idea of what this movie is, but I feel like this is the scene that says, no, this is the movie you're going to get.
Yeah, because they're kind of making fun of him. Like, he doesn't even realize that we're not even cops. And like, yeah. So you frisked him, right? He's like, no, I thought you frisked him. And all of a sudden, he still has his machete, and it's just like,
how do you not see that?
But it's just so perfect. It's so well done. So because they're just such dicks, you know, like the guys.
So. The talk of like those side characters are so great throughout this whole thing. Andre mentioned kind of like the bodyguard that says, "I quit." They have like some dialogue later on too. And like, I just like how he gives dialogue to these, not the big stars, you know, these two cops. They kind of get some nice lines in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's almost like because this movie is like, it feels like they did so many things that were like, what if we did this? And like, yeah, we should do that. Like, what if the cops get him? But they're not cops. Like, let's do that. And like the car exploding, but Machete just rolling out. Like, okay, it's like, okay, I get
it. I mean, he rolls out of like four explosions at least, maybe five. I don't even know how many.
That he just like, ugh.
It's like, whoa. He just dives out.
It is great too how Danny Trejo at this time, how old is he now? He's probably got to be in his like close to 70, right?
Yeah, so 60s somewhere. Yeah,
so he had to be like, I'd say pushing 60 in this movie. It is just funny because
he's
tell
78
he's
now. So oh, okay. he's
78.
So he was 66 in that movie.
Wow,
he moves around great, but I think it makes it even better. Like if this was Machete and he's, you know, 25 years old, I feel like it's not as fun.
Yeah,
but being here, he is a bit of an older guy. He's a bit slower. But it just works like so well, especially
you
with
just
the
totally
big
buy
Machete.
It. And he's just so stoic, you know.
Yeah,
It's lots of lots of stuff here that, Andy, I want you to talk me through Booth saving his daughter and the relationship that they seem to have here.
The Booth daughter mother relationship is the weirdest thing ever. I still can't really comprehend it.
Well, at this point, all you have to talk about is him saving her and her saying, "Thanks, Daddy."
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, at this point, I guess it's, you don't know too much about it, but I don't know. I don't want to, I guess, ruin it for what's happening.
Well, I will say that this scene, the scene of him saving his daughter, I think is cool because it tells us that Booth is also kind of a badass and that he can kill people. He's also dangerous, but he's also got his own things going on. And this is sort of where I like how you have what looks like a linear story, but with him kind of saying like the situation with the snipers and Booth saying there he is and pinning it on Machete, and now him, his daughter, like in like a meth lab or whatever. You're kind of seeing like, oh, what I thought was happening is not what's happening. And well, now you're kind of in this, how does this really fit together?
One thing I did want to mention, I don't know what you guys think of this, but when they do the assassination attempt,
you do.
The guy, the guy that shoots him, couldn't everybody see? He's just like,
he's like right there.
Yards away.
Yeah, he's like, would see like the angle is different. Yeah,
it's not that kind of movie. Andy. Nope.
But I think it's if Booth didn't say he's up there, as a viewer, I probably would have been like, everybody sees the other guy shot him. But right. Since he did the old, he's up there.
Andy, yeah. The only thing in this movie that didn't make sense is that they paid him $500 to fight. That's the only thing that doesn't line up for me.
Everything else lines up. You're right.
Everything else, tight as you want. It's all perfect.
So, Jack, when Booth gets his daughter, did you know that was Lindsay Lohan or until she got in the car?
Not until she got in the car.
Like, so did you know she was in this movie?
I did see that she was in the movie, so it wasn't a super surprise, but it was kind of like, okay. And I actually thought, go figure.
Yeah. She was kind of making her comeback right around that.
Yeah.
Point,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is this funny? Because we reviewed Mean Girls last year, and I want to say that was 2004 or something. And it's just crazy to see like 6 years later, like her career went a different path.
A little different.
We should just do a Lindsay Lohan evolution of movies and just go through all her movies and see that change. So, Torres and Booth discuss how the whole plot was to buy the senator. Machete is taken to a special hospital that is part of the network, but the bad guys find him. Machete takes a bone scraper and knife whips all the bad guys before getting away.
Luz
picks up Machete and takes him back to her place before explaining that she, quote, is just an idea and not a person. The sniper takes a team to Luz's house, and Machete kills everyone before the house explodes. Riviera, who now knows who Machete is, picks him up and asks him for his help, and he declines. Luz, now without a house, reveals she's planning a revolution, and her and Riviera realize they may not be on the same team, but they are on the same side. Meanwhile, Booth kills the sniper for failing and dials 1-800-HITMAN.
Wow, a lot going on.
So this is one of those movies. You got to, I was like, I had this broken up into like 15 different parts.
There's so much that goes on.
It's like, it's interesting because and Andre, let's talk about that, because every scene is definitely like its own story, own little bit, but they do all connect together.
Totally.
And that's an interesting way to like piece it.
Yeah, and he'll have like little things where you're like the doctor's like, yeah, did you know that the human intestine is like 50 feet long? And it's like, it seems like there's no, like Danny Trejo's kind of annoyed, like, why is he telling me this? And then like, there's a payoff a couple minutes later because he rips his 50-foot intestine out of his body and swings like Indiana Jones out
the window. Greatest payoff ever.
It's like, it's just amazing.
Jack, you had to love that.
Oh, I loved it so much.
One of the best.
The payoff.
It's so good.
Why is he talking about intestines?
Yeah. Why is it? What's the context for this? Yeah.
And just what a cool way to make the payoff too. And again, yeah, you can imagine them sitting around like, what's something violent we could do? Well, what if we just grab his intestines and swung out the window? Because the swinging out the window is such a trope as it is.
Yeah.
So you get the trope, but you also get the payoff. And you also just get the over the top, like, oh my goodness,
kind of moment. Yeah. And you get the guy screaming because he's still alive.
And he just so happens, they go, what is that? Oh, that's a skull scraper. Skull scraper just so happens to be hanging out. And all
this
these
really
knives,
sharp like, skull scraper.
Yeah. What do you say about the knives that cut people up like butter?
Yeah. Yeah. Cuts yeah, those people knives. Like butter. Just genius.
Coincidence.
Something that didn't get me here is they were like, they go, don't worry, we're part of the network, you're safe here. Then the dudes literally a minute later just walk in and go right to Danny Trejo. There was no protection whatsoever.
It was that secretary up front. She had to put on a better, she's like, you go left, go right, go left, go right. Yeah. He's like, I don't believe you. I think they should have had like a, you know, the 1-800 hitman type guys in the front there. They needed better protection up front.
Yeah. Andre, was I the only one that kind of popped when I saw that 1-800 Hitman was also Sex Machine from Dusk Till Dawn?
That's right.
I was like,
see, that's a movie I haven't seen in a really long time.
Oh, you got to go back.
Yeah, since probably high school, I want to say. This was the late 90s, right?
Yeah, I think it was 98? Like 95, 96.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah.
Right.
I've seen it a couple of times, but it was probably high school last time I saw it. So I knew I recognized it from something, though. Yeah, that's it.
I loved that. He didn't look like he aged a day, by the way.
Yeah.
If anything, he looked younger.
I was so excited to see that. And I love, again, this movie. It's interesting how they, in such a short time, they like build up these characters so that when they do have their death or they do have their moment, it means something, because it's like, okay, the sniper wasn't good enough. Now we're getting a better guy. And you're like, oh man, how is Machete going to deal with this guy? That's another person that's going to have to get killed at some point.
Mm-hmm. He just choked him out in front of Seagal, too. And his eyes like rolled back at his
head. Oh, that was awesome.
That was crazy.
That was the best. That was what was great about it, too. So I think most movies would just have me like, oh,
yeah,
and die.
Yeah.
But this movie has to go,
and then Seagal's just like, yeah. She's got a smirk.
No.
There is one part that I wanted to ask you guys about. Maybe I looked away for a second and missed the significance. There's a part, does Michelle Rodriguez loose, does she like cracks an egg under the bed or something?
Yes.
What was that supposed to be something? I don't get it.
I think it was supposed to indicate how hot it was in there because it was cooking when he woke up.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know.
I think it might have some kind of sexual reference to something. I'm not positive on that, but
I feel like everything in this movie either has sexual reference or murder reference. It's one of those two things. So we continue on and because Torres and Booth are now like them talking about buying the senator. You're definitely seeing that this is all interconnected. Everything's together. And that's that thing that I really enjoy. As we continue through, Machete visits his brother at church, who explains to Machete that Booth works for the senator. Machete heads to Booth's house and weed whacks some guys before going to the pool and recording a video and gathering some evidence from the office. Afterwards, he drops off the women at the church while the senator's army is starting to get a little restless. Machete delivers the evidence to Rivera, who connects the dots that Torres wants the senator to win so that he'll put up a wall, but Torres will know all the weak points in it that he can take advantage of. Rivera and Machete have some drinks and they head to bed. Andy, we get a really cool scene we sort of chatted about with the guards at the office, and they get in the pool, and I just want you to walk me through the sex scene.
The weirdest, I'm still like so confused because I'm like, it's her mom. It's not like a stepmom, right?
No, you're the one. I mean, they're both Andy, you're the one that's supposed to explain it. Walk us through it.
Well, for one, lucky gals. And it's great how Machete just comes in And he's like, oh yeah, he's the gardener.
He's just the gardener.
Yes. And then they, and then I, those guys have the dialogue for a while as Machete just stands behind them and waits for them to piece it all together. But I like how, so they, I guess, essentially thought there was a gardener coming during, did they know there was a porno shoot going out in the back? Or I guess that was their only thing. But yeah, so Lindsay Lohan and her mom are having a sex scene. That's weird.
They're just, well, they were just in the pool naked because she was like, this is how I get followers on my site or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess it was kind of ahead of its time because they shot it in like 2009. So because that's kind of reality these days. So.
That's actually what I was thinking. There's actually a lot of stuff about this that was kind of ahead of its time.
Yeah. A lot of was no OnlyFans back then, right?
No, no OnlyFans that I know of. And the senator was a... years before was very much like certain politicians in today's political mm-hmm. climate. That's yep. dancing around a hot button issue. Is
back to the porno scene. So where was the guy that was supposed to come? Because Lindsay Lohan says like, oh, you're not the usual guy.
Right.
What happened to that guy? Did that guy ever show?
He shows up. He's like, what? They're gone. Oh,
yeah.
Oh
man.
who already cut the grass? Yeah.
What a
well, because the guys, the two security guys, they kind of have a dialogue about it. They're like, yeah, isn't it funny how it's like we're all the security for this house, but if gardeners just show up with like a couple of tools and like a lawnmower, it's just like, come on in. And they're like, right. Yeah, it's weird.
It's what's great about that. We talked about the social commentary in this movie. What's so fantastic about that is it's what they did. It's what everyone does. But it's also made the movie work. It wasn't like shoehorned in, you know? So like, it was about the movie. It's also the commentary. It's also very funny. Like the whole thing worked together very well. It was actually a very clever thing to throw in there.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And Cheech is in it.
Yeah. And Cheech is Cheech. The brother. How
cool. Yeah. So good.
A priest they brother.
Had a, this was a, that, this, they had one of those great lines I loved also where he said, I don't shoot any more than I don't shoot anymore. And he goes, and you don't shoot any less either.
Yeah.
And doesn't he say like, hey brother. And he goes, no padre.
Yeah.
Cause he's a father now.
It's so, yeah, this was just such a fantastic, so much, just what a fun setup here.
I love the line too. I don't know, it might happen right after this word. He just says, machete, don't text.
Oh yeah, machete, don't text. Yeah.
Yeah, that
and
was
then,
actually.
And they reference it later. And she's like, I thought machete doesn't text. He's like, machete improvises.
Yeah, kind of like almost like caveman delivery.
Yeah. No, that was, I was going to mention that. Jessica Alba, she got kind of like, clingy for a second. It's like, you haven't texted me all day. And I was like,
yeah.
Machete's not texting you.
She was very into him.
Yeah.
She was. Yeah.
Like suddenly too, almost character changing. So like she was like in love with him, but
he gets every girl pretty much, right?
He does, which is exactly what these kind of old movies were.
Right.
You know, almost like a James Bond or something like that. But it
right,
was just,
right.
That's why it works so well. Like I said before, like him as like a younger Danny Trejo probably wouldn't be as fun, but him being like the older, you know, almost grandpa age to be like the love interest of, you know, Alba. I'm sure Michelle Rodriguez was into him as well. You know, and all these, the girl in the beginning.
Yeah.
They did her and Michelle Rodriguez did hook up.
Yeah. They went all the way
with the A.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
She goes, like he said something like sometimes the legend's better and she's like, we'll have to find out.
Yeah.
And also because he's not even trying, like he's such a curmudgeon, if anything. Right. You know, he's actually kind of a fuddy-duddy throughout this.
And he's
like,
with Lohan and the mom.
Like he never does anything that's like appealing, but they're like, everyone throws themselves at him.
Yeah.
Which is great.
He just kicks ass.
Big machete. Yeah.
So Vaughn, who is the cop in this movie, Vaughn finds Luce and shoots her in the eye. And then 1-800-HITMAN storms the church. Booth puts Cheech up on the cross and tells him his whole plan. If a wall is up, then they will be the only ones that can get drugs across the border and they can raise their prices. Machete and Rivera wake up next to each other as luchadors attack them. They escape and head to the church where they find Cheech and the camera that recorded his killing. Machete finds out where Booth is, and Rivera goes to the video gives the video footage to a reporter who shows the world the senator's crimes, and the senator shoots Booth for failing him, but Booth tells Machete everything before he dies. Meanwhile, April wakes up in the church and figures out what's going on. Andre, this is where all these things really start to collide and all these different plans start to unravel. This is kind of my favorite part in these movies. Like I said before, I love when all these issues come together, but also the very cliche explaining what's going to happen from Booth. But now it's making sense. Like, oh, this is what they're really trying to do.
Yeah. And that was another really cool shot that when they first introduced Cheech, they have this like cross, you know, that's coming in from the sunlight, and it's on his cheek. And it's like, okay, what's the payoff here? We know he's a priest, so it's not just that he's a priest. And then when they, you know, obviously his death scene was, you know, it's pretty hardcore, but it's done in a way that it's like, yeah, now Machete's really gonna go after these guys. But then, you know, Cheech, he doesn't just go down easily. Like, he goes down, you know, swinging. But it's just, again, like, just so many things happen. Like you said, just so many scenes with action, yet the plot's still moving. So it doesn't feel like the action is, like, slowing anything down. Kind of like, I always reference Lord of the Rings, but not that I have anything against those movies, but it's like another 20-minute action scene.
right.
I just get bored after a while. Like, I can only see so many like orcs get hit up by a hammer or sword or something. It's like, there's another 50 orcs from the north. And it's like, it's another 6 minutes.
And now there's 50 from the south. And the west and the east.
Yeah, it just keeps going. I'm like, let's move the story along. I get it.
We've only got 3.5 hours to tell this story.
And some people love it. They love all the action. It's great. I prefer the action in this kind of movie, even though some people might say it's gratuitous, but it just works for the movie. But it doesn't feel too drawn out. Like it happens. There's big numbers of it, but then you're in the next scene and you're like, cool.
I feel like it does such a great job too. There's so many movies that have, it's like, I would shoot you, but I'm going to put you in this area and, you know, hope that you die, you know, like I put you in a trap or something. I'm going to remove myself from the situation where like De Niro's character just shoots Booth right away. It's like, yeah, dead. And then he looks at I love that driver too. The driver just looks back and just like books it out.
Yeah, he's just out. Yeah.
Well, I think one of the things that makes this movie great with the action scenes is there are stakes to all the action scenes throughout the movie. Meaning, I think that because we set the tone early on that like anyone can die at any time, when there's an action scene, you're always wondering, is my favorite going to get through this? Is the bad guy going to get shot here? Like, you don't really know, is Cheech going to survive that scene or not? And he obviously doesn't, but there are certain movies you watch. And I mean, he's going to get through this, you know, or like he'll survive or he won't survive or whatever, but you really never know in each individual scene who's going to get through or not, which makes all the action scenes a bit more exciting
Who's going to kill who? Who's going to backstab who? Mm-hmm. Who's going to revenge the other person now? Yeah.
Right. And as far as the, I do want to talk about Cheech's death because it was pretty shocking, but I was thinking about it. In some movies, you'd see something like this and you think, oh, they're just being grotesque or they're just trying to be offensive or whatever. But it felt like with this movie, that's what you would do. Like, it felt like that's what those characters would do. It didn't feel like they were trying to just be like, how can we offend people? It felt like,
yeah,
Booth has shown that's exactly how he would do it. And 1-800-HITMAN, that's his name, I guess. I don't know what his actual name is.
Yeah, his character name, I wrote it down. It's Osiris Amanpour. Amanda.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I was about to say 1-800-HITMAN's better, but Osiris is pretty cool.
Osiris.
Yeah. Oh, Man Thor is pretty cool.
Well, he was Sex Machine in Dusk Till Dawn, so this guy.
Oh, that's right.
That's part of his contract. When you hire him, you got to give him an awesome name.
Great name, yeah.
Yeah.
I also love, it's a little thing, but just, again, the very cliche, over-the-top bits of character development, how Jessica Alba's boss is like, no, you can't, it's too dangerous to try to stop Torres and the senator, you know, senator pays us, don't do it. And she's like, there's following the law and there's doing what's right, you know. She's like, that's such a classic, but so it's done in such a good way because it is so embracing these like tropes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just love it. It was just a great little character.
I think during this part too was like the stuff that Andre mentioned and I love is they gave the bodyguards some personalities. So like they just like let the camera like on all four of them and just let them like have their little time on camera. And then they hear in the background, hey, did you guys hear that? And then it's like almost like a horror movie where it's they all kind of split up.
And then he goes, okay, guys, let's split up.
That's so funny. And then, but I'm glad you re-mentioned them because when they first showed up, I remember actually thinking, I kind of like these guys. I kind of don't want them to die. And so the fact that they didn't, I think, was very smart of them in making this, knowing that these are kind of lovable guys.
And they were like lower level guys that probably weren't really privy to the information of the main bad guys is what the impression I got.
Like the soldiers in Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. Like Machete knew, like they're just doing their job. They're not trying to do these horrible things. And also, I like that they showed, because Andy, that's something we've talked about a bit about how, you know, like what do these guys do when they're not henching, you know, And as we talked about at the top, Andre, I love the, you know, I think it's kind of messed up what we're doing. And they're like, shut up, dude. The boss here. But they're all kind of like, I don't agree with this, but it's a job. I don't know.
Yeah.
The guy quitting is just so funny.
Yeah.
Like I said, that He's moment.
Like, he just drops his gun. I quit.
100% I would quit. Come on. I mean, even if I had never heard of this guy, if someone comes up with a weed whacker with knives, I am done. There is no price. No price worth it. That was a fun bit. But we get to the end of the movie here, and the network, Torres, the senator, and the vigilantes, they all start gearing up for the big fight. The fight looks kind of like what I think Fortnite would look like in real life, because it's just a bunch of people dressed randomly all fighting each other in a small place. The vigilantes want to kill the senator, but the network saves him and dresses him up like one of their own. Luz arrives without her eye, and Machete flies through the air on a hog with a Gatling gun in what has to be the greatest moment in cinematic history. April shoots the senator. Luz kills Vaughn, and we get the showdown with Torres and Machete. After explaining the history between the two, Machete stabs Torres in the belly, and then Torres finishes himself off.
One of the best scenes in the movie.
Just so good. That night, the senator tries to run away, but is mistaken for an illegal immigrant and hunted down and killed. And Machete and Jessica Alba ride off together into the sunset.
While making out on so he can't see the road.
He's right,
riding his chopper motorcycle.
Again, every character is so much their character that this is absolute character perfection. I think. I want to, you know, Andre, you talked about Torres killing himself. Walk me through that, and just obviously because the sword
that
and
sounds better
him.
Than what you said, Jack. You said, and he finishes himself off.
Well, he gets stabbed in the belly and he kind of knows he's done, but instead of just being like, oh, you got me, like he's like, yeah, this doesn't even
this doesn't even barely faze me. I remember the line, yeah, but he's just like, it doesn't even faze me.
I think he says, like, I could kill you now if I wanted to.
Yeah, if I wanted to, I could still kill you, but I won't because I'm going to hell or something, or I'm going to see you in hell or whatever it is. And then he's like, just want to get it over with. He's like twist the machete in his gut and then slides it across his stomach and just...
Well, it's the old samurai suicide, right? Or like there's a...
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Which I think is part of his whole character with the sword and everything else. Because at the beginning, he's like, a warrior dies like this, you know?
Oh, that's true. Now he's
like, ugh. But still...
But it seems like more painful with a machete than a samurai sword because it's just so much like whiter.
I'm sure it's painful either way, but it's you're right. But the combo of him being like, it's not even that bad. Yeah. Him doing it in the grotesque way they're showing him, like, ugh! Yeah.
I don't know why I kept thinking of like Seagal had to have said that's the only way he's going to die or something. Like they were like, oh yeah. And then machete chops you in half and he'd be like, mm-mm.
Well, I don't want to lose.
He would only do it himself. He'd have to kill himself.
That's the only way I could imagine losing a fight. But also, and Andy, I want to talk about Lindsay Lohan, who dresses up like a nun before shooting the senator. I'll be honest, I felt like that part, like a lot of Lindsay Lohan didn't actually need to be in this movie, but having the star doing this felt, again, like it fit this movie.
You know, the female characters at the very end, I love like kind of like badass female characters, and her with the nun wardrobe, and then Michelle Rodriguez coming back now with the eye patch. And then you had those twins come back from the hospital. They were like the nurses with the AKs. Yeah. Just like some cool, like female, like badass characters, which I thought was cool. And I love how you said it was like Fortnite. I was thinking it was like the Anchorman fight scene. Where it's
oh,
like,
yeah. Yeah. These... Wes Mantooth and all that.
Yeah. Wes Mantooth.
Because you look around and there was one guy that was dressed as a chef. And then there's like construction workers.
Then there's an ice cream guy pushing a cart. He's pushing an ice cream cart with a gun.
I couldn't figure out who was on what side. And when Lindsay Lohan just started unloading on people, I was like, does she know who she's shooting? I feel like she was just shooting at whoever. Didn't matter.
It looked like she was just disarming people.
Yeah, true. Yeah, she was just kind of like she was shooting it above their heads, right?
But it was like, because she was shooting, but she was hitting the weapons and everyone was dropping the weapons.
Okay.
And so I think it was like they were implying that she was that quick to shoot. I don't know. Maybe I'm
like
wrong.
She's just nuts. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was wondering if they just saw her in the nun wardrobe and were like, oh, we're not going to fight around the nun. That's seemed like a little bit to me too.
Yeah.
And did you notice, she shoots De Niro's character like point blank, like three shots. Like every other gunshot in this movie, their heads fall off and like arms fly off and explosions where like his shot, I don't know much about guns, but it seemed like a powerful gun. And it just like goes ding, ding, ding. These little like gunshots. I thought that was funny.
I do.
Well, because he's wearing a bulletproof vest though, right?
Right.
So, yeah. So maybe they were like, okay, let's not make it too obvious that he's like he's really like dead here, so so they toned it up. That was because I noticed that too. I was like, wait, because I totally forgot the ending.
But, it did feel I loved how this went, because when she killed him, I was like, I'm glad she got a big kill at the end. But I also felt like it's not very poetic that she killed him. Like it was kind of like, I mean, he never really
killed because she loved her dad. Yeah, right. Even though they had a weird relationship, but
to put it lightly.
But what did she say? In the name of the Father, I forgot the rest. It's something like that, right?
So terribly good. But then I think it was just the perfect poetic justice that he was running away and got hunted down. The death of the bad guy in movies like this is one of the most important things. And this was the best way to do it.
The fence was so satisfying too, because whoever the narrator is in this is so good too. Like he's like, whatever his name is, John McLaughlin. You know, but he like says something about like, we're going to have electronic fences to electrocute all of them. And then he gets electrocuted in the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The political videos were very, the campaign videos were so funny and dead on. John McLaughlin for John McLaughlin. Vote for John McLaughlin.
Approved. They're not that different from real campaign ads these days.
No. That's what was so crazy about it. It's like, this is still just hitting the nail right on the head with this guy.
Yeah.
This was, I also love the callback to Jessica Alba being tied up, very similar to Machete's wife in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And it kind of that mm-hmm. callback, like, we're here again. And for some reason, he doesn't kill her, though. But
yeah. Which reminds me, so we just assume Machete's daughter was killed too, right? In the very beginning. Because he's like, I'll get your daughter as well.
Yeah, like she's in school or something like that. Yeah. They never really... I wonder if they shot some scenes and then they didn't make the movie, or if it's... Because I haven't seen the sequels. I wonder if like she shows up in the sequels or something. Yeah.
I wonder... I would imagine that the studio is probably like, yeah, we probably don't want you shooting a kid.
Yeah.
In the movie. Like that's...
That's where we draw the line.
They draw the line. Well, and Rodriguez, he does a lot of kids films too, right? Didn't he do like Shark Lava Shark Girl? Shark Boy.
Lava Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's probably a level of like, yeah, we don't really want to show that. So I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. I guess it's just implied.
Also, right. I want to mention a car used its hydraulics to crush somebody.
Oh yeah. That's great.
They use the Star Wars screen that they use it in all those movies.
Fantastic. So this was, as we wrap up, this was just a delight to watch. I thought this was so fun. I thought it was so silly. As I said at the top, I love when a movie just says we're going all in on what we're going for and is unapologetic about it. And that's what this was. They weren't trying to reach a broad audience. They were trying to reach a very specific audience. And I am in that audience. I loved it. I thought it was fun. This is the exact kind of movie I love to see. So very fun watching it. Andy, Andre, you obviously get the last word. Andy, what did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a sucker for Robert Rodriguez ever since Desperado. But yeah, his stuff is, I just love all the characters. You know, there's these, every character is like memorable. Like you could go through and be like, oh yeah, this was the character that had this. This was the character that had this. And even like the guns they had, each one of them had like a different like weapon. Obviously, machete. Where does he get all these machetes? He's got so many.
Pop it up.
But yeah, super fun to watch. There wasn't like one time where I was like, how much longer is this movie? You know,
right.
It's like perfect. I think it's only, was it like an hour 45 or something? I don't
think
it's too long.
With credits. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So not too bad.
This, as you know, enjoyed it. Falls right in that, right in that time period I love. Andre, how about you? Any final thoughts on this one?
I think the biggest thing that stood out to me, because Rodriguez is, you know, obviously a great filmmaker, but he edits his own films too. And I thought the editing was flawless. Like it's probably one of the best edited movies I've seen in a long time that I can remember. And I remember noticing it the first time I saw it, but I've just been like, you know, watching movies a little bit more, having a baby for a while. I like didn't see any movies for a couple years, and now I'm kind of like getting back into it now that she's older. The editing, the pacing is just so perfect, and just the timing of the shots, the dialogue editing with the timing of the jokes and the humor, everything's perfect. The sound effects are just a little different, a little bit more 70s sounding, but still kind of modernized to where they're mixed really well. But just like post-production, 10 out of 10 for me.
I loved it. And I know I said you'd get the last word, but I also want to add, again, I love that every character has real motivations and it causes them to conflict. I love that Booth had his own, you know, idea of what he wanted to happen. The senator had his own idea. Torres had his own idea. 1-800 Hitman, like, I think was just there for a job. And when the job was over, he's like, peace.
Yep.
He left.
Yeah.
He didn't stick around. Yeah, he didn't.
Doesn't beat around the bush. No. What he does.
No, 1-800. Yeah. I wonder what you'd get if you called that number now. But great movie. I enjoyed it. Now, before we head home, though, we got a game we got to play. And Andy, I already know how you can wrap this up, but let's see how you get there. It's 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Andy, can you connect one of these characters to Kevin Bacon in 6 minutes?
Yeah, you already know where I'm going. And how in the world did Robert De Niro sign on to this movie? Like, it seems so crazy. Like, hey, do you want to be in this Machete movie? But Robert De Niro was in Sleepers with Kevin Bacon. There,
done.
There it is.
Dang. Can you connect quick. Sex Machine to Ross?
Let's see. Yeah. I'd have to go through From Dusk Till Dawn. Oh, yeah. Dusk Till Dawn, Juliette Lewis, Brad Pitt, Sleepers with Kevin Bacon. Juliette Lewis is in California with Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt's in Sleepers with Kevin Bacon.
Oh, you're good at this.
Yeah.
We did Dust Till Dawn like a couple
of years. Oh, you did recently?
Yeah.
Like, man, so you fresh. Really remember that.
Though. Well, I just go, yeah, I use Sleepers because it's got De Niro, Brad
oh, yeah. Pitt,
and Dustin Hoffman in it. So it's like,
yeah. You're gonna, huge cast. Yeah.
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 Well, depressing movie, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, we are zigging and zagging on this show because we are going from, we went from like, we're all over the place. But anyways, we're going from Machete to next, the next show is 2011's Cabin in the Woods to 2012's Silver Linings Playbook.
Okay.
To 2013's Identity Thief.
Oh, okay.
So some zigging and zagging is what we're doing here. lots of different stuff coming.
But we came off Hot Rod. And Bronson.
Bronson.
So, oh, yeah.
And he's just got that into you.
Yeah, Hot Rod.
Yeah. Yeah.
So very, very good movie, I would say. An Oscar caliber film. The only 87-minute movie I thought they drug out longer than they needed to. But I loved it. I laughed. It was funny. It was a 15-minute movie. Yeah. But that does it for us. Andre, where can the world find you and what you're working on?
I am, let's see if I remember my YouTube. Do I have, I think it's just YouTube/Andre Welsh. So I have some stuff on there, trailers and different random videos. And then I'm also on Vimeo. And I think it's also just Vimeo/Andre Welsh. And if you're curious about my film, it's disrupted.com or just disruptedmovie.com. God, it's been a while since I pitched that. It's probably disruptedmovie.com, although don't quote me on that.
Just Google Disrupted.
Just try. Yeah, maybe Google it. Yeah.
And a great, great movie. Definitely check it out.
It was
I'm so
a great
good
movie.
At pitching my stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. The producers must be stoked. Andy, where can the world find you and everything you're working on?
You can find me at Just Andy Ross.
And you can find, I'm Jack Farmer. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. That does it for us. Thanks so much, Andre. Thanks so much for coming back. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Absolutely.
Andy, it's your job to be here. But we'll see you all.
Hey,
keep waiting. We'll see you all next week.